All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up? I'm Penn.
Hey.
Wait, what's that? We started?
Yeah, man. I just sprung it on you. Like,
I'm down here taking notes, getting ready like a grown-up, and I look up and David's underway. Oh, my God.
Man,
it's going to be a little different this week.
Oh, why's that?
Yeah. I'll tell you why. It's going to be a little different this week because I have upped my game. I'm all kinds of classy now.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm artsy.
What?
I'm intellectual.
Let me see that pinky. Whoa, boom. It's out. It's out.
We have a new, quote for motto for the podcast.
What's that?
Pinky's out, motherfucker.
Kid friendly.
Kid friendly, as always.
Mother approved.
We got to find a nicer way, but I think that's the motto. I think it's like, pinky's out, so-and-so.
Yeah.
Pinky's out, friends.
Pinky's out.
Why does it have to be hostile? Why do I always go to the swearing hostile language?
You're
why
so can't aggressive.
It be like, why can't it be like, pinky's out, friends?
Were you picked on as a kid? And now
I was.
This is your chance to
it's
get
true,
back?
It's true, yes. Ever since that night, I was taped to a toilet overnight.
Oh, it's been, everyone is your
it's been rough.
Yeah, wow.
Come at me, bro.
I'm not scared.
I ain't scared. That's the Yoder tribe motto. I ain't scared. Yeah.
Yoder tribe.
Speaking of Yoder tribe.
Oh, hit me up with this because I don't
know.
So
I just want to give a shout out. I know normally we wait till the end of the show to do listener notes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta give a shout out to my boy, Andrew Yoder.
Yeah.
He went up and competed in Ironman Mont Tremblant.
Oh.
It's a big ass race.
Yeah.
With all the high end triathletes racing. My boy is a professional triathlete.
Yeah.
2,600 people were racing.
Yeah.
He finishes ninth. What?
What?
So proud of him. He had some back issues on the bike, which a lesser person would have like, oh, yeah, you know, it didn't work out, so I'll go get him next time, you know, rah, rah. But not our boy, Andrew, man. He sticks it out. He guts it out.
That's why they call him the Yoder Motor.
That's I've always wondered, but
now you know.
The Yoder Motor.
What's up?
What's up? So big shout out to Andrew. Congratulations. Top 10 finish among the pros in a highly, hotly contested, not only a hotly contested race, but also with, struggled through some adversity, and so kudos to him. Congratulations. Very proud of Andrew Yoder. Good stuff.
Way to go, man.
Yep. And our boy and avid listener, Eric, was up there in the support role cheering him on.
Yeah.
And our buddy Teresa raced. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. As we're sitting here recording this, she's currently still out on the run course.
Whoa.
She's a tough nut. Yeah, she's an age grouper, super strong, and she's finishing up the race as we speak.
And was Eric out there? Do it strong like the Penn Cinema podcast guys.
Right. Do it for Johnny.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, all right. So we're here to talk about movies.
Yeah.
Not triathlon.
No.
Please.
I mean,
not impressed.
Seriously. Something that you will be impressed of.
Hit me.
Remember that Aladdin movie that came out this summer?
No.
Well, it was a live action version of Aladdin by Disney.
Was it well received?
Sure.
Who played Aladdin?
A kid. Who looks like my buddy Orlando. The whole time I'm watching him like, you smug guy, you Orlando, good looking dude, I can't handle you.
Nobody likes a good looking dude.
I know. I'm like, get out of here. I told him and he's like, if I can get a girl as cute as Jasmine, I'm cool with it.
Oh my
like,
God.
Whatever, brother.
it's pretend, right?
Get out of town. Yeah, seriously. So, well, they're going to make Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar. Sort of. Because here's the thing. The guy, the executive, Captain Disney, this is his title.
Mr. Dr. Disney.
Mr. Dr. Disney. He said, well, it's going to be like the first Aladdin. It's not going to be a straight up remake. It's going to be a little different.
Oh.
And I was like, was that a little different?
Like, was it though?
Was it?
Really?
I mean, huh? So basically they're making the Return of Jafar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I remember when I was the key audience for this, that the Return of Jafar satisfied me. So I'm okay with it, I guess.
Are you talking about last summer?
Yeah. Before I matured, right. He's out.
Mr. Doctor, yeah. Biopic. All right, well, I got some hard-hitting news for you.
Uh-oh.
The first photos of Lady and the Tramp have been released. Oh, and I can now confirm,
yeah,
through sources. I don't want to give away their name, but their initials are David Moulton.
Whoa!
And I can confirm through those sources that they do, in fact, look just like dogs.
That's insane. Who would have thought?
Only here, folks. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Yeah. Hey, but seriously, though, they really do look like the – I mean, not that that was that hard.
Right.
They look like the dogs. I don't know if they're real dogs. Or if this is a Lion King type situation. I mean, obviously their mouths are going to be...
You think there was some Photoshop action?
Well, you'll have to ask your mother-in-law.
Right. I have to admit something to you. Have we discussed this on the show?
What's that?
Lady and the Tramp was not on my radar.
I keep forgetting about it.
Okay.
Like, I heard that they were kind of making it, but then I didn't realize they were making it.
Right.
And then I saw a thing, like, photos from Lady and the Tramp. I was like, wow. Oh. Guess that's happening.
That's a real thing.
Who wants to see dog kisses each other with spaghetti? Get on board.
Line forms here.
Oh, man. Hey, Neil Blomkamp. Is that how you say his name?
Neil.
You know, District 9.
Right.
Did you like District 9?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I used to really like it.
Yeah.
I don't know
how
it's aged.
What do you mean
used to? I don't know. Someone proposed the question. They were like, do you think this movie's aged well? And I was like, I don't, I remember really liking it every time I watched it. I haven't liked his other stuff.
Here's how I judge when a movie has aged well.
Yeah.
And it may or may not be fair. I feel like when I scroll through Netflix or Hulu or whatever thing and they're suggesting all these movies.
Yeah.
When I see a movie like District 9 comes across, sometimes I'm like, oh, that movie was awesome. And I click on it and watch it again. And sometimes I keep scrolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's almost involuntary. It's not even judgmental. It's just sort of a fact of life. Like I keep, you know.
Too many options.
Too many options. And if it doesn't immediately jump out at me like, oh, I want to see that. Or I'm sorry, I want to see that again. Then it doesn't sort of ring a bell.
Hmm. But this movie, would it last for you?
I think so. Okay. I mean, put it this way: now that you've put it back in my head, I'm like, yeah, I might watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like his other stuff though. Anyway.
What's some of his other stuff?
Elysium.
Oh yeah.
Chappie.
Chappie, I did not like.
Yeah, I think he did something else too.
Chappie was the kind of movie that tries to be two things.
Yeah.
Tried to be a good science fiction movie and a kids movie at the same time, and as a result, it was neither.
And man, casting that band as the two lead actors, so bad. Di Antwood.
Do you remember that time we recorded episode 30?
Do you mean today?
Today, right. You remember a few minutes ago, right before I started singing Andrew's praises,
yeah.
I said how I was going to be classy?
Yeah.
I never explained why.
Oh, shoot.
Because
yeah.
I'm like a whole different person.
I thought you were so classy.
You can probably tell by my newly grown goatee and the pipe that I'm smoking.
Right.
And my sweater vest.
And he's got this really corkscrewed mustache.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's because I've all weekend been watching indie movies.
What? For the film festival?
Yeah, for the film festival. Yeah. I'm watching artsy, independent movies.
Yeah.
And now I'm super hip.
That's what I am doing after this.
I mean, I'm going to roll with you for a little while, but I, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You're going to watch independent movies too?
Well, yeah.
We're going to be super hip.
I know.
Oh, I'm so excited.
For the film festival, I'm watching today. But, oh my goodness. Grab a latte, chai, super mocha, low fat, and just kick back with some of the art, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I watched one today. Kayla walked in at the end of it, and she was like literally, she walks in for the last 3 minutes, and she's like, what was that about? And I looked at her, I was like, I have no idea.
You just spaced.
No. I watched it closely, every frame.
Yeah.
And then I have no idea what it was about. I mean, seriously, like, I swear to God, I don't get it.
Wow.
I guess I don't want to say what it was because I don't want to insult anybody on record for the rest of my life. But I watched it. And when it was over, I was sort of staring at the TV going, what was that?
You know what your problem is? You watched it too early in your metamorphosis.
Oh, right.
Into a snooty-tootie film guy. Like myself.
Like yourself.
Now that you've elevated yourself to a higher level, you need to go back and pretty much rewatch everything you've ever seen in a new light.
Am I going to start finding problems with everything I watch now? Just like you.
Friends are so pretentious.
So I scrolled to the end of it, and I clicked do not recommend, and... Oof. We'll see if I'm in the majority with my other fellow selection committee. Mike, you're on the selection committee.
Yeah, that's what I got to do. That's what I got to do.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. So, all right. We might as well stay on that topic, Red Rose Film Festival.
Yeah.
So that's the first weekend of November in downtown Lancaster.
It's going to be hip.
We're right in the middle of a crazy five-week series.
Mm-hmm.
We had the first week with Phil Wanger from... the Lancaster Conservancy showed Leonardo DiCaprio's movie Before the Flood. That was incredibly well received. We had to open a second theater.
Wow.
Then we showed Justin Geisinger, an elite runner and a good friend of mine, came and presented a movie about Steve Prefontaine called Without Limits. Beautiful movie. And then this week on Wednesday, we have Josh Ank from Sight and Sound is presenting the first ever movie theatrical release of their stage production called Jesus. We're moving that. We're just starting over in the IMAX.
Wow.
Get 400 people.
What time does it start? 7?
7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Yep. Come on if you want. Come on.
Whoa.
Yeah, it should be cool. It's free, and then we accept donations at the door to support the Red Rose Film Festival. And then we have Spinal Tap the following week with my friend Sam Bressy from the Lancaster Community Foundation.
Yeah.
And then the very last week of our five-part series is Mark Robin from the Fulton Theater presenting the 1939 version of Wizard of Oz, which should be pretty cool.
That's pretty dope.
So the Red Rose Film Festival is really gaining a lot of good momentum.
Yeah.
Ryan Shank and Ian Long and my friends on the board are really doing a great job. And we're, as you know, in the heat of selection. So it's really fun seeing all these movies. Because I'm sitting here making jokes about this one that I have no idea what it's about. But I also watched a number of them that were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that I loved called Raising Buchanan, which I clicked. Not only did I recommend, but also clicked it should be award. There's a little button you can click called Award Worthy. If you think you want to draw it to the attention of the awards people.
Oh.
I'm not on the awards committee.
Right.
Just because it wouldn't be right. But I recommended it to them.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
So anyway, that's what's up with Red Rose Film Festival.
Wow. Let me tell you a bit of story about me. Since we're talking about awards.
Are you an award winner?
I am.
Oh.
And I'm looking into some stuff, right?
Yeah.
I was on a little project. I don't want to brag. I'm listed as a director under a project called Star Wars Uncut.
What's up?
It won an Emmy.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious it won a technical Emmy.
Why do we call you David? And not award winner David Moulton.
Yeah, right?
That's incredible.
Right?
You got a statue?
No. I'm saying. So I looked into it, and we're trying to figure out what kind of recognition. Because I think you have to be listed to get, like, an official statue. You have to be listed within a certain amount of minutes at the beginning of the movie. And I'm in the credits at the end.
Yeah.
But I think I can get a plaque.
And you're listed as a director? Okay.
Yeah. Me and Steve O'Donnell. Do you know Steve?
No.
Okay. Me and Steve O'Donnell.
Wow.
We directed 13 seconds of a film called Star Wars Uncut. And so I know that we can at least get a plaque. But Steve and I are looking into, if we want to, we can get the actual thing.
Oh, my God.
But it doesn't, it's not like the one that, it'll say, like, in honor of the movie and not like our names or anything like that. But
who cares?
We're still part of the thing. So I think we're going to do that.
That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little pricey, but like, I mean, come on.
Oh my God.
Right?
100%. I would do that. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hundo P.
And I think it says the like the other stuff on the back, so people won't even.
Who cares?
It's still technically wanted.
Who cares?
Emmy. Yeah.
You have this cool statue.
Yeah.
And everybody who walks in is going to be like, oh, check that out. What'd you do? Get an Emmy? And you'll be like, as a matter of fact.
Pinky's out.
Pinky's out.
Hey, but Star Wars Uncut is literally unwatchable.
What?
So it won a technical Emmy because it did something pretty crazy. And this is years ago.
Yeah.
They auctioned off 13 seconds of Star Wars A New Hope. And then you would take it and you would refilm those 13 seconds. And then they put it all back together.
Oh, wow.
So every 13 seconds it changes animation, live action, you know, good costumes, bad costumes, people in their living room. Like, and then there were votes to like see which one.
What do you mean unwatchable? This sounds amazing.
Every 13 seconds, you'll have a headache before the end of the credits. Trust me.
The opening credits?
Yeah, the opening credits.
A long time ago in a galaxy click. Now, you know, David, I'm not one for one-upsmanship.
Yeah.
But the other day I was cleaning out my drawer.
Oh, really?
Yes. We have a junk drawer in the house.
This is just junk.
Right. This is how I'm so big time.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
My awards end up in the junk drawer. Now, again, I'm not trying to brag, whatever, but we're getting to know each other here, sharing our success stories.
Yeah.
You know, all right? So the year is 1976. There could only be one best dressed gerbil in all of day camp.
Oh my gosh.
But guess who's
best dressed gerbil?
Best dressed gerbil, 1976.
Oh.
Pound Ridge, New York day camp. What's up?
Oh my. Oh, forget it. I mean, here I thought I was coming at you with something heavy, but I didn't realize what I was up against.
That's dressed gerbil,
wow.
1976.
Did you put that up on the wall?
Read it and weep.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I got it bronzed and hung it over my bed.
The gerbil?
Got the gerbil bronzed naturally.
Yeah.
Stuffed. And hung it over the bed.
Clearly.
Where else would I
hang it? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that leads right into our last bit of news here.
We're a bunch of highfalutin folks over here.
I mean.
Award. That's what we're going to have to start calling it now. The award-winning Penn Cinema podcast. From now on, I'm going to be like, well, between the two of us, one of us got an Emmy.
Yeah. One of us has a bronze gerbil. Right. We're not telling you which one. Best dressed. Gerbil.
1976. What's up?
My gosh. Hey.
Okay.
Mulan.
Let's talk real news.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're banking on Mulan being like a heavy hitter. But not only are they banking on it being a heavy hitter here, I think this is the Disney live action they're hoping on overseas markets.
Okay.
So they're like, it's going to explode.
I smell trouble.
Yeah. A little bit of trouble. Now, I am not up on all the things. I definitely read into it. Because I was like, I wonder what this is about. And I got about two paragraphs into what was going on, and I realized I didn't pay attention. I was like, I wasn't totally following everything. Something with the police in Hong Kong versus something and criminals being expedited to the larger country of China and not keeping them in Hong Kong or something. Anyway, point of the story is, the actress who plays Mulan came out in support of the police, and now there are protests saying that they want to. They were already protesting the police, and now people are saying they want to boycott this movie in Hong Kong.
That's crazy. Why would she do that?
Well, I mean, I guess she's an activist or something. I don't know what the sides are.
No, but I'm saying, like, you rarely hear of an activist being on the side of the authorities. Usually activists are, like, fighting the power.
Right.
They're not going like, hey, respect the power.
Right.
Respect my authority.
So I don't know.
You got to slip that shit in quick, David.
1995 Cartman impersonator winner, Penn Ketchum. I don't quite understand what is going on. and that's my own fault. But look it up if you're interested to know more. This could hurt this movie significantly. When is this due out? December? November?
I think it could 2021? Hurt the movie in China, but I don't think in America people
pay attention. People in America aren't going to care, but the money is overseas now.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the movies that we don't like. We don't love that get all those sequels. And it's because they do so. Transformers.
Why do you always have to bring up Transformers?
Because I'm secretly in love with Transformers.
Here's the thing. I know people think that we're just a couple pretty guys talking about movies. Mm,
so pretty.
But we are geopolitical analysts as well.
Obvi.
Pinky's out. Yeah. And I just feel like it's going to be really interesting as Disney makes a legit push into China. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But isn't China like a pretty screwed up country right now? Like, aren't they living under some pretty authoritarian rule?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a very healthy place.
But that's where the money's at.
I get it. And if I was in charge of Disney, I would want to take them to China too. But what I'm saying is that's a tough road. You know, and if their first, if they're not that this is their first, but if their star actress playing Mulan is going to side with the cops,
right?
That's shocking to me.
Yeah.
That's really surprising because I feel like I would want to go in there and like bring some life, you know, some free thought, some thinking,
right.
You know, some open-mindedness.
Now, you say that, but we don't know what the cops are standing for.
That's true.
So, I mean, I don't know if they're protesting like the treatment of criminals or if they're protesting because the laws are now too strict or
I wonder if I would know more about this. If I watched the news instead of old Seinfeld reruns or The Office.
Nah. So anyway, if that kind of stuff interests you, check it out. It could be a substantial blow to them if it continues on. It might blow over, but who knows?
Little light in the news department today.
Yeah. No, it was light just full week. And you know what it is?
I do.
What's that?
No, you go ahead.
D23 is coming up.
What's that?
It's the big Disney Expo with all their news and everything.
Gotcha.
So
when is that? September or like literally next week?
It's soon. I don't know. It's real soon.
Okay.
But I think there's other stuff.
So a lot of news next week. My opinion, my theory was going to be it's slow because it's the end of August or middle of August. And like just in general, it feels to me like everybody is like winding down and going to sleep. Like, it's hard to reach people. People aren't doing stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get out of bed. Nobody wants to really do anything. I don't know. It just feels quiet.
The D23 Expo starts on August 23rd.
Yeah. So that's like in a week.
Yeah. And that's so, I think both things are right. I think a lot of the Disney stuff is quiet and there's so much of it, so many because of that. And then just like you're saying, everyone's kind of end of.
All right. So let's hit some trailers.
Yeah.
Movie trailers.
Okay.
Why don't you walk us through Little Women first?
Okay.
Hey, girl. Is this that kind of movie?
The way you phrased it, I was like, do I make a joke? Do I not make a joke?
Let it go. Hey, girl.
Little Women. So this trailer looks really well made.
This is based on the famous book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A bunch of sisters, right?
I believe so.
And they all have different aspects of, or different goals in life. And I think the main-ish character wants to write books, but she doesn't want to write about girls just getting married. And that's a thing.
Doesn't this take place like in olden days?
It's Victorian.
Yeah.
I think that's the appropriate word.
I'd like to see Little Women remade in modern day, present day.
I feel like they've done that. It's called Sex and the City.
Mm, you might be right there.
Mm-hmm. No, but this actually looks really well done. I only got a chance to watch the trailer once, and I was kind of halfway through it. I was like, does everyone have the same accent? Does everyone have an accent? And I couldn't really, like, totally follow it.
Yeah.
Little Women is one of those classic stories that I think if it's done well, it can succeed anytime it's done.
Yeah.
And visually, this movie looks fantastic. So, also, Here's the big thing I took home from this trailer. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, I watch it. I feel like I watched it a while ago. It's not a new trailer.
It's not new. Yeah. I think I missed it last week.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's the big thing I got out of this trailer. I watched the trailer, and I was like, oh, man, Timothy Charlemont or whatever his name is, man, he's going to play a really good Paul Atreides.
I think so.
I brought it all back to Dune. Because I'd never seen him act before, and I was like, all right, I get it. He's going to be great in Dune. That's what I got from Little
Boy. It's all about Dune with you. Hands on hips. It's all about Dune.
It's all about Dune. Yeah. So that's what I took from that trailer.
Here's what I took.
Yeah.
Comes out on Christmas Day from Sony Pictures releasing.
Yeah.
That's a good equation.
Right.
Yeah. Little Women plus Christmas Day release plus Sony Pictures. Those guys know what they're doing with releasing movies.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got to give a shout out to my boy Chris Moclair from Sony, who's been going through a tough patch. So keep him in your prayers.
Love
here.
Peace, chicken grease.
Yeah. I tried to play the sympathy card, like tell him how rough I was having it. And then he made a joke about like, whoa, is your boss going to close your office and move you to L.A.? And I was like, I don't think so.
No. All right. Give me a trailer.
How about Augie?
Yeah.
I liked Augie.
I did too. Well, tell me about it.
What? I just now watched it. You're going to hate me. I literally watched it 5 minutes ago.
I can't remember
anything about it.
Come on, Ken.
I wanted you to remind me. What's the deal with this one?
Okay. What's the actor's name? I can't remember, but he's great. He used to play only bumbling idiots, and he's gotten more and more. He's a great actor. Can't think of you. As soon as you see him, you're like,
"Yeah,
that guy." He's an older guy. He retires.
Oh yeah, I know that Augie is the artificial intelligence glasses that show you whatever you want. And I know exactly what you mean. He's the guy. I love it when he shows up in movies.
Yeah.
And I've never known his name.
Right.
Yeah.
He's so good every time.
Yeah.
He's always a scene stealer.
I think people would call him a character actor, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember him leading a movie.
I can't think of any.
But this trailer reminds me a little bit of Joaquin Phoenix in Her.
Yeah, but it's the next level.
It takes Her to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
What did you think?
This fought me for trailer of the week.
Okay.
Honestly. Just because it's the kind of hoity-toity indie crap I fall in love with, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, so the storyline is this guy that we like, he retires and his team gives him Augie, which is a pair of glasses with artificial intelligence in them that displays itself. When you look through the glasses, you see the artificial intelligence as whatever it reads your subconscious, whatever your subconscious wants to visualize that type of help as.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right?
I would be embarrassed to have glasses projecting everything I was thinking of.
Why? Yeah, well, just projects itself as a person in front of you, as your subconscious would want you desire. Which, I mean, it doesn't basically say as what you want as a love, but it's kind of what they allude to. So, and it's different for everyone. So he puts it on and sees a young, beautiful woman, and then he's married, but he starts to develop an emotional connection, probably physical too, but emotional connection with this artificial intelligence, and it starts putting a strain on his actual marriage.
The guy we're trying to think of is named Richard Kind, or Kind. I don't know which one it is.
He's great.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he does a lot of animation. He was in Toy Story and all this kind of stuff. But you probably, maybe it's just guys my age, but he was the next highest actor in Mad About You with Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt back in the 90s. So that's where I sort of remember him most from. But yeah, this movie's going to be great.
Yeah. So it looks really interesting. I don't know what it'll have wide audience appeal for.
No.
I don't think, but it looks really good.
Do we know? I forget when it comes out, but
I don't remember.
It's going to be in Theater One. It'll be a small movie, I predict.
Right. So let me take you on a trip down a road called Kill Mode.
Please do.
You didn't. You were like, should I watch this trailer? And there was a part of me that wanted you to, but I knew you would have gotten 10 seconds into it and you would have been like, why? And turned it off, even though I was standing right
there. I would
there.
Have told you something about I only have so many minutes.
Yeah. So this movie, I heard about it. I heard buzz about it. They were like, Kill Mode's coming. It got distribution. It's going to be at the TIFF, whatever that film festival.
Toronto International Film Festival. Yeah.
Some Canadian like distribution company picked it up. And they were like, we want to get this in the film festival.
Should try to get in Red Rose Film Festival.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Now, I watched the trailer. I'm like, okay, let's see what this is about. It looks like someone came up to us in the lobby and they were like, can we film our YouTube video outside? And then they knew how to use After Effects. And at one point, the guy's wearing an exoskeleton suit that literally looks like it's made out of cardboard. Like, he has cardboard boxes strapped to the side of him, and he's just pretending like he's strong with it. And I'm like, yeah, like that photo, like me. As
Optimus Prime, 2008.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now I really want to watch this trailer.
Yeah, I don't know why it has buzz. And I'm like, really? This movie has got, like, I saw, like, 4 or 5 articles about how it was coming out.
Yeah.
So if you want to see something and wonder why... Watch Kill Mode, the trailer.
If your life is so empty.
Yeah, if you've got minutes to burn.
Right.
Unlike Penn.
Well, the shocker is we all have the same number of minutes each day.
What?
You sit with that for a little while.
I was disappointed because you know what I used just Friday night?
What?
I had to flip a coin.
Oh.
I said, heads I win, tails you lose. And the guy was like, yeah, whatever. And he picked up on it right away. And I was like,
oh, bastard.
Dang it.
All right, one more before we get to the top two.
Okay.
Dolomite is my name.
Dolomite?
Dolomite.
Dolomite is my name.
Dolomite.
This is Eddie Murphy.
This is.
What do you think about this?
I'm a little bit conflicted.
Let me rephrase that. Does this deserve a theatrical release?
I don't know.
You know?
Here's the thing. This tells you everything you need to know about this movie. The question, does it deserve a theatrical release, requires actual thought.
Yeah.
You know, as to like, I don't know. I mean, it's another one with Eddie Murphy putting on a fat suit and a wig and like...
Is he putting on a fat suit?
Or is he just fat?
I think he's just pleasantly plump.
He's just aging well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to trash this movie because I laughed. There were some funny parts of the trailer and I'm sure the movie's going to be pretty good. And if they want to release it, like I'll probably play it. You know,
it's got a lot of good actors.
I was just going to say it has a cast, an all-star cast.
Yeah.
Snoop Doggy Dog's in it. Yeah. Craig Robinson from The Office is in it. A lot of good actors that I would be excited to watch. And, of course, I do love Eddie Murphy. My problem is, like the rest of the world, I've been kind of, like, still waiting for Eddie Murphy to, like, go one way or the other. Like,
be good or be bad?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to say he should get back into stand-up. But, like, he did this awful movie. Did you see what I think it was called Mr. Church?
No.
And he played Mr. Church. And it was freaking awful. It was one of the rare movies where the studio sent me a link to watch it to decide whether or not to book it. I actually did watch it, and it was so bad that I told the guy, I was like, no.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not play it here.
Wish you would have done that with Ma, huh?
I forget what studio released Mr. Church, but I guarantee it wasn't Universal.
Okay. Yeah.
I guarantee it wasn't Disney.
So I thought this trailer looked entertaining. I don't know if it's movie theater. Like, it's something I'd watch on Netflix, which Netflix is producing it.
Here's the thing. Whether or not it goes to theaters is a little bit irrelevant because if it goes to theaters, it's going to make like $6 million and it'll be out of theaters within 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks entertaining. Here's the thing. It has the actor who plays Titus in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Which, by the way, he's hilarious.
Yeah,
but
love that show.
They do flashbacks in that where he's like in the 70s or he's got like a big perm and stuff.
Yeah.
And then in this, it's that time period and he's in it dressed appropriately. And I almost laughed aloud. I was like, can't be real. It's a flashback. So
All right. Yeah. Trailer of the week.
For you.
Well, I was going to be a gentleman and let you tell us about your trailer of the week. Because I think we're on different pages. We both agree these are the two best trailers, right?
Right.
Okay. The movies that we're discussing are A Hidden Life and The Irishman, which we are in agreement. Those are the two best trailers.
Yeah.
So what's your trailer of the week?
Mine is A Hidden Life. And this is a story, hoity-toity, indie, like real indie, pinkies out type thing. It reminds me, like the film quality and color palette reminds me of Motorcycle Diaries, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's about people living in Germany during the beginning of World War II and how the country began, the country as a whole began to change with this fascist leader, and how it changed the people and what happened to people who didn't agree with Hitler. And it looks powerful. It looks heavy. It looks great. I really want to watch this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I agree. It was beautiful. The color palette, to use your words, reminded me of like The Pianist, even A Beautiful Life, you know, something like that. I think this movie looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty honest with people about like, there's some movies that really need to be seen on a big screen, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of those movies, you know what I mean?
This is one of those movies that when I see the actors in it, I get excited because they seem appropriately visually matched not only to the situation and to each other.
Mm.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is like no one is too pretty. And no one is overly ugly or like, like they look like they, if they met each other, they would fall in love, and they look like it just matches really well.
Yeah.
So let me hear about your trailer of the week.
Well, my trailer of the week is one of the most difficult movies that I have on my list because I'm so conflicted. Mm. And it's The Irishman, which is based on one of my favorite books, has a lot of my favorite actors in it. Directed by Scorsese, or Sazy, or however you say his name. And I'm super excited for this movie, but I'm further annoyed because the trailer at the end says in select theaters and on Netflix.
Right.
So they're going to do that bullshit where they put it in four theaters across the country. My phone's going to be ringing off the hook with people saying, why aren't you playing The Irishman?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm going to be like, dude. If I could play The Irishman, I would. And I'm still working on it. Maybe I shouldn't be so negative.
Negative Nancy over here.
Negative Downer, Debbie Downer over here.
I know. Picky pen.
I don't think of the two of us, I'm the picky one.
What?
But anyway, The Irishman starring everybody, cool. Joe Pesci plays I forget his name, Buffalo. I will say this. If you've read the book, if you know the story and you've done any kind of research about the main character whose name is Frank Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran's dad.
Right. Right.
Keep playing with that.
Right, right. It is a little now, like, don't hate me. podcast@penncinema.com. But I don't think De Niro is I'm gonna completely contradict myself because I complain about people doing this. So I'm gonna do exactly what I complain about other people doing. I don't think De Niro is tall enough or big enough or overwhelming enough to play Frank the Irishman Sheeran.
Okay.
I mean, Frank the Irishman Sheeran was like 6'5". You know, he's a big, burly dude. World War I veteran. You know, this is a guy who was literally capable of killing somebody with his bare hands if the necessity arose.
Yeah.
And you know, hey, nobody's more of a badass than De Niro. I mean, he's a class A tough guy, and I'm not trying to say he's not tough enough. It just is funny because he's not the tallest dude.
Right. And I'm looking up here. I'm seeing if I can find it. I believe in this movie, one of his co-stars actually wears lifts to appear taller than him.
To appear taller than De Niro?
Than De Niro.
Huh. Maybe it's Joe Pesci.
Oh, no, Robert De Niro wears massive shoe lifts.
That's what I was... Okay, so that's what I was getting at, was that De Niro... That's exactly what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the picture now, because it's like... It's like a good 3 inches.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not taking anything away from this movie. It's going to be great. And for those of you who don't know, the main character, it's all based on a true story, and the main character wrote a book, like, with the help of a, like, ghostwriter guy.
Right.
But a legit, you know, a journalist wrote a very legitimate book and had his picture taken with the book right before he died and said, "I stand by everything in this book." It's basically a true confession, although he words everything with in such a way that you can't sort of hold it against him. Like, so, for example, he'll tell a story, and then instead of saying, "Then I shot Jimmy Hoffa," he says, "Then Jimmy Hoffa was shot at close range." You know what I mean? So it's an incredible story. And to have this A-list of perfect people, you know, telling it is going to be impressive.
Yeah.
So I loved this trailer. I'm really excited about this movie. It kills me that it's not getting a normal release. It's like painful.
I was fully on board with this movie, and I still am. And they do the de-aging thing, and I think that's fine. They don't look that de-aged, but they look like maybe 10 years taken off. But here's what hit me halfway through. And I was surprised because it's Scorsese, and I'm like, this looks pretty. This looks like a... The trailer has almost no close-ups of any of the dialogue. Mm. And that's when I started to be a little like, why aren't they actually showing any of the people talking?
Hmm.
What's up with that?
Interesting. So like when he's on the phone with Hoffa, it's shot from behind him.
Yeah. Well, I know that that's because that's to reveal, like, the camera slowly moves around and keep coming back to reveal the, like, de-aging thing. Yeah. But all the rest of the shots, like, it's all, like, action scenes or, like, passion knocking something over or, like, walking through doors, and it's, like, talking over it. And you don't see, like, people in conversation, which I don't know why. It just concerned me a little bit.
What were you saying about Picky earlier? All right. So trailer of the week for David is A Hidden Life, which I think I agree completely looks beautiful. My trailer of the week is The Irishman. Honestly, A Hidden Life is I will admit, the better trailer.
Mm, that's right.
But I'm just so excited about Irishman. Right. I always vote with my heart. No matter what.
Every time.
So it's like in my fantasy football league this year, I'm going to pick Gronk, even though he's already retired.
I just love him so much.
He's literally not playing. I'm still going to pick him.
I always go full team of Bo Jackson when I do.
Right, obviously.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Give me what was going on this weekend at the theater? How things do? What was leading?
I mean, it was a pretty routine late summer. You know, we were very consistent with the national trend, which was Good Boys was number one, Lion King, Hobbs and Shaw were number two and three. The one that surprised me, and I'll take it a step further, shocked me, is Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah?
It did all right, but it didn't do great. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be a pretty big movie. But I think it's just that time of year where people are... And we see this every summer, like, people are trying to go back to work, they're trying to go back to school.
Having their last pool party.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know, it just feels like even the audiences that are here, they're not, there's not a lot of energy in the audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, we came in because we won't get air conditioned and see a good movie.
Right.
Which could explain why Good Boys is doing so well, because it's a really easy, it's like junk food.
You know what I mean?
It's short. It's hilarious. It's getting great reviews. We'll talk about it here in a minute with our movie review, but I saw it with a full audience, and people were screaming, laughing.
Did you guys all go to dinner before? yes!
What?
I'm sorry.
What just happened here? I feel like I missed my own inside joke.
You said you saw it with a full audience, and I said, you guys all go for dinner before?
Because everybody was full.
Everybody was full.
I gotcha. Not that the auditorium was full of people.
No.
The audience was full from the dinner we just had together.
Yeah.
David, you are a riot.
Number one funny dude.
As Bill Murray would say in Stripes, I want to party with you, cowboy. You're crazy.
You never know what I'm going to say.
Weird, wild stuff. Okay, yeah, so I don't know. That's what's going on. I'll tell you what, I think this is the place to talk about it. What I'm excited for, I don't think it's going to do, it's not going to like move the needle in terms of doing business, but the next couple weeks in IMAX, we have some interesting stuff happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a really interesting email exchange with my main contact at IMAX, who's pretty high up. He handles all the distribution. And I sent him an email. I said, hey, what are we doing for week of August 23rd? Because nothing's, there's no IMAX titles. Angel Has Fallen is the big, sort of the big release. But there's no IMAX titles, and there's no real IMAX titles until September 5th when It, Chapter 2, opens. And he wrote me back, and he was like, you know, whatever you want. I was like, what?
Wow.
This is supposed to be the guy who's like, you know, got the game plan.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely like absent. He was like,
really?
I'm sorry. That sounded harsh. He wasn't absent. He was more like literally like, hey, you know, here's your options. Here's eight different titles you can choose from, or you can, you know, bring back a classic or, you know, whatever. He was kind of like, oh, whatever you want to do. So I don't know if you remember, and I forgot to look up why we didn't play it, but a movie came out this spring, a couple months ago or a few months ago, called Apollo 11,
from
a small studio called Neon, and it went to select IMAX theaters. And there were a lot of people in Lancaster and Wilmington who wanted to see it, but I forget what it conflicted with, but it conflicted with like a major wide release. And IMAX was like, you know, Apollo 11 is only going to like 10 IMAX theaters. So we stuck with the wide release, but so next week, the week of the 23rd, we're bringing Apollo 11 to the IMAX, and then we're going to show Angel Has Fallen as a premium large format, which what that means is we're showing Angel Has Fallen in the IMAX theater, but it's not an IMAX release.
Okay.
It's premium large format, which is really funny because right before the movie starts, the last thing that'll play is a message from IMAX that says, this is not an IMAX title.
Really?
This has not been formatted for IMAX projector.
Wow.
Yeah, so they want to like, that's like...
So you know.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
And then I think you and I talked about August 30th, we have an Indian movie coming out from Bollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Soko.
This will be interesting. I don't know anything about it, but you said it was coming. You guys were giving, you're giving some Bollywood a shot. I said, why? We gotta see this movie.
Yeah. What are we? I mean, we'll watch good movies.
Yeah.
We're not narrow-minded.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't limit ourselves.
We watched Greta, so we're obviously willing to get down.
We did? What was that about?
Can't remember that one.
So, yeah. So, anyway, so that's what's coming. Some interesting IMAX titles, which I think will be a lot of fun. And then It Chapter 2 opens, and then it's time for the Red Rose Film Festival.
Oh, snap, so crackle, and pop.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Okay. So that's what's going on around us.
Well, let's get into Good Boys.
Beanbag Boys forever.
Beanbag Boys for life.
For life. That's what it was.
Yeah. What did you think of this movie?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I saw it with my family.
Okay.
And like I said, a well-satiated audience.
Mm-hmm.
And... And I loved it. Why? You look hesitant. You look a little tiny bit skeptical. Where are you at, David?
I was just making sure you saw the movie.
Oh my God.
No, I knew you saw it. I liked it. I did. I guess the debate in my mind is what was better, this or
Booksmart. I thought Good Boys was better.
I think Good Boys is better. Now, I was looking at it and I was like, is it... Because I can relate to Good Boys being a guy better. Or
no.
Is it because it's a better movie?
Here, I'll really complicate it.
Oh.
I would accept an argument that Book Life was...
Booksmart.
That Booksmart was a better made movie. Like the cinematography, the script, like whatever. But I laughed hard from the beginning of Good Boys to the very end. And the story arc was perfect. Like everything, like I think I liked Booksmart because I wanted to like Booksmart.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Good Boys because I couldn't help but love it because it was freaking hilarious the entire way through. And what I loved most about it, and I do have some problems that we'll get to in the upcoming What's Your Problem with Penn segment. But what I loved most about it is It was totally over top and ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But it never lost sight of the fact that the main characters were 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't so over the... they didn't have, you know, machine guns, and they weren't, you know, smoking crack and chasing hookers or something like that. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. But it was hilarious, and it never went... I don't want to use the word, like, too far, because, like, to me, The Hangover was also a near-perfect movie, which took it way too far. But in that scenario, way too far was perfectly appropriate and made the movie, you know? Right. And in this movie, there's always the risk that they could have gone too far and made it, like, weird, you know, because these are boys, these are kids, you know? But I thought everything about it, I thought it was almost perfect.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I think I agree that what surprised me, especially from the commercials where they show, or the trailers where they show a lot of, like, in the Red Band trailers, they show a lot of, like, dirty jokes and stuff.
Right.
And the movie's got plenty of that. But at the same time, those jokes work because of the naivete of,
right,
of the kids, and not because they're just throwing in a dirty joke. To
right.
throw in a dirty joke.
Right.
And that's what kind of surprised me, is it wasn't just like they knew all these things. It was funny because they didn't know.
Right.
And that, you know, that they were just making up their...
That's for sexing.
Yeah.
People do sex on that.
He says, they're like, she's a nymphomaniac. And he's like, she likes to start fires. He's like, no, it's a pyromaniac. A nymphomaniac likes to have sex on land or sea.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it was good. Some of the infighting with the boys, like, kind of run me wrong a little bit, but that was just because there was a lot of it. I guess maybe because I lived it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've been down this road. But overall, like, the goals are all very reachable, obtainable. Yeah. Like, none of the situations seem too insane out of... I was waiting for, like, an awkward moment that would be a little bit too much.
Right.
And there
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There were a couple times I thought we were going to get there, and then we didn't. And it just, like... I think a couple of them were like, let me think, like when the, not even when the guy comes over to the house to buy the card, I thought that was fine. But I thought, like, when the girl showed up at the very end, I thought it was going to get a little bit weird, but it doesn't.
Right.
And I have to give it, like, total applause for pulling it off.
Right.
That way. So
yeah.
I did like, I like how at the end they kind of show them growing apart. And they make it seem like it's been so long, it's only been a month. And the one boy has had, like, four girlfriends
right.
in that time. It's yeah, I thought that was really funny. So,
you know what my problem was?
What's your problem?
Here's my problem.
Penn.
My problem, I'm with Penn. My problem was, and it was, whatever, but I felt like it was enough of a problem that it kind of took me out of the movie for a minute. The dad's overreaction to the kid playing with the drone when he was like, you can't even call me dad anymore. Christmas, forget it. You know, like too much.
Yeah, it was a little.
Like, that's abusive.
At the end, they only grounded him for a month.
Right, I know.
The part where he's like, I always love you because my son, but I don't like you anymore.
Whatever. I was disappointed because, first of all, I didn't feel that whole thing was necessary. And second of all, I expect more. I forget who that dad was. Will Forte. I expect more from him. He's hilarious.
I thought he did a good job of what he did. He was also the dad in Booksmart.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I guess
we're on board, right?
We're on board with
yeah.
this movie.
I stopped one of our favorite listeners, Corey Brookhaven, in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I saw him as I was leaving. We had a minivan full of crazies, and we were all hanging out of the windows going, dude, you guys see this movie? It was hilarious. What's up? So, yeah, and he was like, oh, so you're on board? And I was like, yep, we're on board.
Yeah. Corey's a man. Awesome. Did you go see it?
I don't know.
Corey, right in. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Podcast at PennCinema. What'd you think?
Yeah. Cool. So
we should start calling out specific people. Did you see this movie?
We want to know. We're going to know if you listen to the show, too. So I guess we're on board with Good Boys. Let's move on to listener feedback.
We are.
So Pirate Dave, my boy. He
I don't want to be a pirate.
I don't want to be a pirate. Yeah. Finally, became a fan on Facebook and saw we were making fun of him. Instantly regretted it. He said Seinfeld celebrating 30 years, and he doesn't understand why Friends, I'm putting connotation in,
right,
gets a fancy schmancy 3-night thing, but there's no love for the Feld of the sign.
What the hell are you talking about? The Feld of the sign.
I'm just trying to make Pirate Dave sound cool.
Dave wrote in, I think Dave raises a really interesting question.
Uh-huh.
And I think I know the answer.
Oh.
I can help you out, Dave.
Okay. Not me, him.
Right, you're David.
Yeah.
And he's Dave.
Right.
So I think the reason is because – so to frame the question, the question is why is Friends getting this theatrical love from Fathom Events and nothing from Seinfeld?
Right.
And the answer is because – and this is going to sound harsh, but I think it's kind of just the reality of things.
Oh, boy.
The cast of Friends – except maybe you could say Jennifer Aniston, but the cast of Friends is basically not doing much.
Oh, yeah.
The cast of Seinfeld, I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, every time I turn on the TV, she's on another, you know, guest appearance on another show or in another show or picking up another Emmy, her and David, you know, fellow Emmy winner like yourself,
yeah.
You know, you guys.
NBD.
And forget Seinfeld. I mean, he's doing Comedians in Cars with Coffee, and that show is taking off again. So I just feel like the cast of Friends is sort of like they have more time for it,
yeah.
More interest because they're not doing really. And I'm not trying to sound harsh. They're the ones that created one of the best shows in the history of TV. And, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But if you're asking me the question, why is there not a Seinfeld special and there is Friends? That's my answer.
Yeah.
But I will also go on record saying as much as I love Friends, I'm with Dave. Seinfeld rules.
Yeah, I'm with Pirate Dave as well. I agree with what you're saying. Definitely, they don't need it.
Right.
That's why. So wait till they need it.
Speaking of Netflix season 2.
Uh huh.
Go ahead.
Well, Mennonite Separation, Becky. She writes in. She's appalled. Appalled.
I thought it was Upside Down Picnic.
No, Mennonite Separation. Where did you get this Upside Down Picnic?
I don't know.
Yeah, they both work.
Let's just call her Upside Down Becky.
Upside Down Becky.
Yeah.
New name. She's appalled that I was bringing up the Netflix, quote-unquote, stance of 2 seasons done.
Right.
With things. And she was like, I need more Gracie and Frank or Gracie and whatever it is.
I think it's Frank and Gracie.
Frank and Gracie. She's like, I need more of that right away. Why isn't there more?
She was like, they take away my Gracie and Frank, I'm going to cut a bitch.
Yeah. I think that was the quote. That was her exact quote. Yeah, she said that. She's going to kill us. But yes.
Yeah, so podcast at PennCinema.com.
She was appalled by that. And I get it.
It's Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frank.
Not Gracie and Frank.
Gracie and Frank. Because they're two ladies.
Right,
that makes
right.
more sense.
Right, right. So what's this 2-season rule that you're talking about?
Well, last week we were talking about how Netflix and Amazon have come out and said it's not profitable to make a TV show in-house for more than 2 seasons because they make them to bring in new subscriptions, and after the second season,
right.
they don't bring in new subscriptions.
And Becky took offense to that.
Well, I mean, she wants her Bert and Ernie show. I can't remember what it's called already.
Bert and Ernie for Chicks.
Bert and Ernie for Chicks. Yeah, that's basically what it is. Should be the subtitle.
All right. I was so tickled. We got some listener feedback, and he sent it just to me. He emailed it just to me. But I think I posted it on our Facebook page and got some comments that people agreed. My friend wrote in and said he loves the show. It's car talk for movies.
That is high.
Which I took that as high praise.
Pop your pinkies out, folks.
Yeah, pinkies out. So I was really tickled by that, but then I told Amy that happened and how much I took it as a great compliment and isn't that a nice thing to say? And she said, I told you that months ago. So I got in all kinds of trouble with Amy.
Oh, my word. You know, I thought you were going to be like, well, that show got canceled just like yours should.
Oh,
and then she walked away.
No, Amy doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Oh, yeah.
But Amy's chief complaint, and I don't know if there's a lot of guys, husbands out there who get this same complaint, but like...
You're too good looking.
Your wife tells you something. She tells you something. Tells you something. And then like your buddy tells you the same exact thing. And you're like, hey, Aim, guess what I just heard? She's like, I've been telling you that for 6 weeks. I do it to Amy all the time.
Wow.
I feel terrible, but I'm not the best listener. No, that's not true. I'm a good listener, but sometimes I don't always remember things.
It's like that joke. My wife told me, I never listen to her when she's talking, and I thought that was really weird to start a conversation that way. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Diamond-Eyed Derek.
He wrote in, and he said, the Lighthouse trailer really reminds him of a podcast called Lore, specifically episode 23. Did you look into this at all?
I did not.
I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I saw him the other night, and he was like going on about it. About some sort of, and I was like, wait, this sounds so much like the trailer. Is it the same thing? So I don't know. But some fairy tale, lore tale, not a fairy tale, of like two guys in a lighthouse who bicker all the time, and one of them winds up dying. And it's like a spooky tale where one of the guy dies, so he makes him a coffin, and then there's big storm comes and hit, like, throws the coffin up against the trees, and the guy's body's hanging in the trees, like looking right in the lighthouse, and the other guy has to like sit there for a few days, like with his friend just hanging, staring at him. So anyway, it sounds
awesome.
Amazing. So I guess look it up.
No, I'm definitely gonna look it up, and I feel bad because I really appreciate him pointing that out, but I got sidetracked by the film festival.
Right.
I got an email. Did you get the same email from Ryan? Ryan's the executive director of the Red Rose Film
Saying
Festival.
Hurry up.
And he was basically like, guys.
Yeah, you got to get this done. I got the same
watch
email.
Watch these movies or what? Yeah.
By this day, please.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that was our listener notes this week. Podcast at PennCinema.com if you want to chime in. What have you been doing outside of the movies this week? Hit me up.
Kayla and I... watched another in our John Hughes summer movie series.
Uh-huh.
And we thoroughly enjoyed it. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Mm.
Now, of course, we've both seen this movie plenty of times.
Yeah.
But it's been a good number of years since we actually sat and watched it, like, you know, sit down and watch the whole way through. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, just such a great movie. So touching.
Fun thing about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that is the movie that I saw at Wilmington when it opened.
Ooh, snap.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, great movie.
Just in case there's any listeners that are not aware
Huntington Valley. Yeah.
In case there's any listeners that are not aware of this, Penn Cinema has a Thanksgiving and a Christmas tradition. Our Thanksgiving tradition is we always play Planes, Trains, and Automobiles the Monday night prior to Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and we always play Christmas Vacation some Monday night, like a couple weeks before Christmas. Actually, I should say it like this. We play Christmas Vacation the Monday before Star Wars opens. Every year.
So anything else on your radar?
No. I mean, we've talked all night about the Red Rose Film Festival.
The what?
So I've watched three feature films.
Uh-huh.
Raising Buchanan mm-hmm. was by far my favorite. Not by far. I've watched three really good features. Raising Buchanan, I'm going to blank out on the other two names, but one was a faith-based movie, I think called Right Before Your Eyes, but maybe not. The second one was called Bring Me an Avocado. And this one was really, so Raising Buchanan is really out there and kind of hilarious in a little bit of a dark way. I highly recommended it to the film festival. I hope it makes it. Bring Me an Avocado was also beautiful. It was a little bit heavier with some funny moments.
Mm.
about a woman who gets accidentally shot and is in a coma for 6 months. And the movie is about what her family, her husband and their kids and her best friend and her sister all go through while she's in a coma. And then some of the awkwardness when she comes out of the coma. So I'm not going to spoil anything, but this is a pretty great movie. And then the third movie is a faith-based movie. I forget the title, but it was a good, it was a really good movie.
Hmm.
So I'm really excited about some of the, I watched another one, a short movie. It was only 7 minutes. And it was called We'll Hunt For You. And it was a mock commercial for a grocery store about why you should come buy the steaks. And basically it was like, so you don't have to hunt. But the whole, they say it's a short. It's short. It's like 30 seconds.
Wow.
But they made this commercial. It's absolutely brilliant.
Wow.
So there's a lot of good content coming out on that. And I've been super busy watching all those.
Huh. That's very cool.
What about you?
I finished The Boys.
Ah. Recommend?
Yeah, I'm a little torn.
That's not like the most enthusiastic recommendation.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Like, I'm a little torn on it. Like, I enjoyed it. I just don't know. It's like you got to pick and choose who you recommend it to because it's a little rough.
Okay.
Like, content-wise, it's a little, like, a lot of surprising gore or random nudity for people who might not be into that or... who want to see something superhero or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought the acting was superb. I thought all the actors in it did a really good job. I don't know. There was just something about it. Like, as much as I was enjoying it, I was kind of like, I want to know what happens next, but I also not sure how much I care. So I've been listening to the second season of This Sounds Serious, which is a parody podcast.
That review of The Boys was the worst review I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard a more empty review of anything ever. I promise you I will not be watching that show. I'm so grateful that we're done talking about that show. Specifically, you're done talking about that show.
So I really sold you on it, huh?
I feel like we should apologize to our listeners.
Maybe check out The Boys. Everyone seems to like it. I'm just, a minority who only kind of likes it.
Right. Picky, you know, David.
Pinky's out on this one. So yeah, I've been listening to The Sound Serious Season 2.
Yeah.
Pretty good. That's that True Crime parody podcast.
Yeah. The one that you didn't know was a parody.
Yeah, except for this time I knew it was a parody straight from the beginning. Okay,
fool me once.
Yeah, not twice. And I started a show called Cannon Buster last night, which I was like, couldn't sleep, turned on this new Netflix anime show, and all I can say is it's weird. So
I was down in Long's Park Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
and I was taking in the festivities with my friends. One of my friends...
The only one other than me, right. I'm assuming.
One of my friends is... Like, to quote Good Will Hunting, wicked smart.
Oh.
Right. Undergraduate at MIT, graduate at Stanford, you know, one of the smartest guys I know.
Wow.
PhD from Stanford. He invents, like, I don't even know what. He like, it's the kind of thing, like, you ask him what he does, and he's very nice, and he tells me what he does, but I have no clue.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Did he ever win an Emmy?
Probably.
Oh, dang it.
I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
Because he might be the kind of guy who invented Emmys. You know what I mean? Like, he just lives here in Lititz. Just a regular guy. Walking down the street, just looks like a normal dude.
Yeah.
And he's secretly, like, in his basement inventing, like, new technology for the missile, for the military, in case, like, what happens if we lose the North Pole?
Right.
If you lose the North Pole, none of our compasses work.
Right.
So he's, as far, in my own words... He's inventing a compass that doesn't require the North Pole.
Psh,
what?
That's intense.
Dude's smart. So I'm chit-chatting with him.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, a thought occurs to me. I think to myself, self, do you think this guy is hip to Dune?
Oh, I bet he is.
So I lean over and I say, hey, Ralph.
Like a drug deal.
Yeah.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
You know about Dune?
I was like, you holding? I was like, are you hip to Dune? And he's like, oh, I love Dune. He read the whole thing, of course, read the book, mm-hmm. hip to the movie, you know, didn't like the movie as much as the book, you know, blah, blah, blah. he's totally versed in all, like, now it's funny because I'm talking about him because this is the guy who I had the conversation with.
Right.
But he's married to Melissa, who is also equally smart, you know, and literally a PhD rocket scientist who works for NASA and lives here in Lytton and walks around like a regular person. They're both wicked smart. Melissa has explained to me, with all seriousness, how time travel works. And why there's most definitely alien life form out there. And these are not weirdos. These are not like, you know, somebody who's sitting in their mom's basement smoking too much weed, like, you know.
Right.
These are like legit scientists.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Real people like Dune? Real smart people like Dune?
That wasn't the shocking insight. The shocking insight was the time travel piece.
Oh,
because I was telling Melissa, I even made the joke. I made a joke about time travel, and I said to Melissa, I said, ever since you taught me about how it works, now I'm hip to it. So anyway, yeah, so Dune, Ralph got me super excited about Dune. I'm recommitted to reading this book. I only have, what, 15 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big book, though.
It's a big book. And you got other books to read and races to run.
Only
so many minutes a day.
I did 2 12-mile runs this weekend.
What?
Friday morning and Saturday morning, and it was hot and muggy as hell.
I don't even drive 12 miles to work.
Yeah, it's brutal. All right, next week.
What are we doing?
I mean, Angel Has Fallen, right?
I guess. Have you seen the other ones?
What are the other ones?
Olympus Has Fallen, London Has Fallen.
Oh, those from the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely seen them.
All right.
We also have Overcomer opening in Lititz, which is a faith-based movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have, I feel like there's Butter Falcon.
Oh.
Ready or Not opens. Let's watch Ready or Not.
Ready or Not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think Angel Has Fallen is going to be great, and I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah.
But I feel like Ready or Not is going to be the more interesting to see if it's as good as it looks.
All right.
Ready or Not. Here we come.
Let me tell you about the piece of feedback I got today. I was downstairs in the lobby getting my tickets.
Yeah.
For Good Boy. And I don't remember his name, but the guy said, "Oh, you recording today?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I listened to the podcast once." I laughed. I said, "Thanks." And it was like...
did he say?
I listened to the podcast once. I laughed. Like, just like... not it's funny. I laughed. Once.
Deep thoughts. From Penn Cinema employees.
Yeah, <that's
an laughs> that should be a new segment.
Yeah, I said, "Hey, thanks for listening." He said, "Yeah, no problem."
Down the hall to the left.
Yeah.
To the left on your right. Yeah. You know how to tell the difference between a good usher? This isn't a joke. This is a little insider baseball here. The difference between the best guys on Chopper, guys and gals on Chopper, and the regular ones is the best can tell you directions to your theater from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones say, like, it's down that way, and then it's on your right, and they have to point. But I can tell you, it's to your left, second door on the right. That's a skill.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Tough acting to act in. Anyway.
Pinkies out.
Pinkies out. Hey, you want to get in touch with us, best way to do it is podcast@penncinema.com. Shoot us an email. Ask us a question about anything. The doors are open. Just ask us, and we'll answer. Probably not right. We'll answer.
We'll make up an answer.
You can also find us at facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast.
5 stars.
5-star review on iTunes. If you can make Penn laugh, tickets to the IMAX.
If
you can make Penn laugh.
That I'm fancy, I think it's going to be a lot harder.
I know, because they'll be like, I have to critique this.
Right. Your grammar was incorrect.
Yeah.
Sorry, bucko.
Let me check my liberal agenda. So once again, for the Penn Center Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.